One dreadful morn, our Christ my Savior, weary and worn, see for sinners, why on the cross, that he might take them from endless love. Blessed Redeemer, precious Redeemer, even though I see
what's that?
For sinners pleading, blind and unheeding, dying for me. Father, forgive them, thus did he pray. In love is life's love, flow fast away. Now I see him on Calvary's tree, wounded and bleeding, for sinners pleading, blind am I, dying for me. Savior and friend, how shall my praises ever find end? Through years unnumbered on heaven's shore, my tongue shall praise him forevermore. Blessed Redeemer, precious Redeemer, seems now I see him on Calvary
Take our Bibles. We're going to jump right into 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. And I'll let you sit down. We're going to read it just right away here. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Pastor Rose graciously allowed me to preach this morning. And I always get excited for the opportunity to share God's word with our church family. And pray a lot about what to preach on. Praying about it, and I didn't have a lot of assurance from the Lord that exactly what I should preach until about yesterday. I had a couple messages completed that I thought I should preach, and focused on the joy of the Lord. And I feel like sometimes in my life, my wife, and just being around other believers, sometimes we lose the joy of the Lord. And I thought about preaching on that subject. But our pastor's theme that he has set for the church really what stuck in my mind, and our theme for the year is the Word. Pretty simple, pretty basic, but very powerful. Just focusing on the Word. And what got me thinking about it is my wife and I had the blessing to go see family over Christmas and New Year's. I got to see my grandma and my aunt who live in San Francisco. My dad and his family lives in San Jose. My mom passed away 2 years ago, and I just wanted to check in with my brother and see some family and the rest of the family, see how they're doing. And I actually got to take my wife and our kids and my dad, his wife and their kids out to a dinner, and we went to the Somalian restaurant. Have you guys ever been to the Somalian restaurant before? Doesn't matter. We have this auditorium right here. No, raise your hand if you've ever been to the Somalian restaurant. One person? Oh my, you're missing out. Celeste was like, I don't know about this, honey. I don't know. But you're going to love it. You're going to blow your mind, all right? So we went there. Some of the best we had all trip, right, honey?
Yes.
That was the best. We went to Austin, Texas. Did not like it. Thank you. they don't read it. He said he called America a nation of biblical illiterates. And this is what he discovered. 4 in 5, which I was pretty shocked at these numbers. 4 in 5, and this is a recent one, believe the Bible is the literal or inspired word of God. 80% of Americans, 300 million Americans. So he's saying 240 million Americans believe that. And yet only, as he says, 4 out of 10 could tell it was Jesus who preached the Sermon on the Mount. Fewer than half, listen to this one, half of Americans can name the 4 Gospels, which are Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I'll have to clarify this for our church in case we want to be in that statistic. Listen to this. This is what shocked me. We make a big deal of this at our church. 20% of regular church attending teenagers don't even know why the church celebrates Easter. 20%. And if Christ is not risen, then is our faith in vain, the Bible talks about. You don't understand that? 20%. I'm going to talk to our teenagers tonight. Real quick. We want to be in that statistic. 20%. Gallup said, Americans revere it, but they don't read it. In fact, this really broke my heart when I read this one about pastors. It says, only 1/3 of pastors regularly read the Word of God outside of sermon preparation. And wonder why America is a poor creator today. Trust the house of God. Trust those Christians. God says, often what you see in the Old Testament, before Babylon came in and Assyria came in, those were the priests who had dishonored the house of God. It was often the pastors too, and I'm not trying to call just the pastors here, but that was disturbing to me. 1/3, outside of sermon preparations, what they get paid to do, right? That was discouraging to read. My message this morning is, what is the purpose of the Bible? The purpose of this book. Sometimes when we get the purpose of the Bible, we motivate ourselves to get it. And going back to why we do what we do, what is the purpose of the Bible? May I remind us, it's not just a history book. Amen. It's not just an outdated religious artifact. It's not just a prop for securing the church on Sunday mornings. It's not just a decoration that you leave on a coffee table. It's not just a good addition to our libraries. It's not just a good reminder of Grandpa Jim. It's not just interesting literary work filled with good stories. What is it? It's the revelation of God. It's God breathed. It's a guide map. It's a lamppost. It's a child rearing manual. It's a marriage counselor. We're looking at this on February 1st. It is a financial counselor. It's a manual for life. It's the final authority for all that pertains to our life and practice in the church especially. Paul was writing to Timothy, his son of the faith, and that's what we're looking at in 2 Timothy chapter 3. And before he lays out the verse in here, which explains very clearly what is the purpose for the Bible, he wants his young son of the faith to understand some things about the times that he is living in and the times to come. And then he gives him the purpose. He wants to remind him how valuable the Word of God is in his day and age. Let's look at 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1. We'll look at verse 1 right here. If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. Dark and difficult days are ahead, son. I put a little note there. What is the purpose of the Bible? Timothy, it's needed for our current societal ills. For men, look at verse 2, shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous. Timothy, I want you to know something. Men are going to love themselves and their money. And by the way, being covetous doesn't necessarily mean you have a lot of money. I know many poor people who are covetous. What your net worth is has nothing to do with whether you're greedy or you're covetous. good people buy the kind of hot dog. All right, just clarify that. Dave Ramsey worked that as well. But he puts plus to Dave Ramsey, right? So we got that class coming up. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters of proud, blasphemers. Look at this, teenagers. Last days, disobedient to who? Parents. Unfaithful. How are we with our gratitude to God and our prayer time? Unholy. We don't consider anything sacred anymore. Verse 3. Without natural affection. We've seen that today. Truce breakers. False accusers. That means they like to slander people. My oh my, we've seen that more on social media. People calling out each other, don't even know who they are. See something they don't like? Blast people. Incontinent, meaning this, no self-control. Can't control their tongue, can't control their actions. Fierce. They're despisers of those that are good. Timothy, I want you to understand something about the world that you are going to be ministering to. They're going to be traitors, verse 4. Heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. That sounds a lot like America. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Denying the power thereof. From such, turn away. I'm going to have Pastor Joseph get ready to play a video for me. Although God is not far, Paul just said that, look back, he's not far away from us. We can reach out to him if we choose that. We live, though, in a materialistic consumer world. It's crept into the church as well. Most people choose churches based off what programs they offer, not looking to serve. They want to consume. And I understand you want to have nurturing basic things that we should provide, I believe. But we have a consumer mentality even crept into the church. Our world, like never before, is seeking fulfillment and satisfaction in drugs, alcohol, other substances, entertainment, career success. I've dealt with a couple guys struggling in their marriages I've been talking with and trying to encourage who have placed their job status, their position with work above their families, their wives, their relationships. I love the fact that you gotta go to work. And sometimes we get that wrong message that work is no longer valuable or important. It is. But he's putting this, I got to a point of idol worship about his career success as well. Building a business apart from a genuine relationship with Christ. And Pastor, when I played this message, I came across this video here as we were looking forward to the Super Bowl, which, by the way, hands down, Tom Brady's going to win this thing. Although I don't like Tom Brady that much, you know what? Zoom in on him. You can just barely see his chin. All right, we'll have to be on the back.
Tom Brady, the quarterback of the New England Patriots, is not only one of the NFL's best players, he's one of the NFL's great scorers. At the tender age of 30, he has already won 3 Super Bowls, an accomplishment that ranks him with some of the best quarterbacks ever to play the game. He's having one of the greatest seasons in pro football history. When we first reported on him back in 2005, he seemed underrated, almost overlooked. He doesn't have the arm of Peyton Manning, doesn't have tattoos, and he doesn't take steroids, and he's never held out for more money. All he knows how to do is win.
That's what you always want.
You're right, yeah. And I didn't think it came with all the other baggage, though. In addition to his success on the field and his sex appeal often, there is also the $60 million 10-year contract to play with the Patriots.
Yeah, I'm making more money now than I ever thought I could ever make something put.
But with all that money, fame, and career accomplishments, we were surprised to hear this from him.
Why do I have 3 Super Bowl rings and still think there's some greater out there for me? I mean, maybe a lot of people would say, hey man, this is what it is. I reached my goal, my dream, my life is, man, thank God, it's gotten me more than this.
What's the answer?
I wish I knew.
pretty powerful video. I mean, the man has accomplished what some people were. You see these football players out here? They would love, they would think, man, that's it. I would have accomplished everything in my life. And Tom Brady's been at the pinnacle for a long time. Yet here he is. I don't seem to know his heart either, but it seemed like he's a little bit searching. Empty. The material blessings that he received, the ability, the accomplishment, the fame, I mean, he got everything. He is an absolute Martin free guy. Right? Everything that the world would say is, wow, that's what Solomon did. Solomon had every pleasure at his fingertips. And at the end of the book, he says, all is vanity. I've come to the conclusion that what we ought to do is fear God, keep his commandments, because that's the whole beauty of faith. That's what he came down to. And I like what he said in his own words. There has to be more than this. And I would say to him there is more. There is more. There's a relationship with Jesus Christ. That when you're in a dark day prison in Philippi, you can still sing praises to God. That only comes from, that's what God be thinking about. The joy of the Lord is our strength. There's something unique about a relationship with Jesus Christ that empowers the believer. That's a testimony to a lost and dying world. That the person who doesn't have a lot of wealth or could be on a bed of cancer this morning can still sing praises to God and honor God. People who don't understand the faith, they look at it as a spectacle. That's what God said you ought to be. A royal priesthood. Zealous of good works. So, once again, I don't seem to know Tom Brady, but I think that video is very telling that we live, once again, in a consumer world, but apart from relation to Jesus Christ, it's all vanity. And I was telling you about my wife here. Yeah. She always cracks up. She's going for Tom Brady just because he's a handsome guy, all right? So, I will admit, he's got that good chin. He's got that Batman chin. You gotta get that, all right? But, anyways, Norm, see Norm's chin here? Got a good chin as well. Yeah, I will say that. I like Asher, my son. He's got Norm's chin. All right, so look at verse 6. For of this sort, he goes on, Paul's talking to Timothy once again. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. I won't dwell on those subjects there, but verse 8. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses. You remember those two characters? In the Old Testament, who would try to imitate what Moses was doing? Oh, he turned the river into blood. Okay, well, we can do that too. Oh, you threw down your staff and you can't make a serpent. Well, guess what? We can do that too. Although, remember Moses' serpent devoured their serpents. And look what he says. So do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds reprobate concerning the faith. They have a counterfeit faith. They have an appearance of godliness, but deny the power thereof. Verse 9, but they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest, that means publicly made known unto all men, as theirs also was. Paul tells Timothy, these counterfeit faith, these false teachers, they won't last for long. The false teachers, someday everyone will recognize what fools they are, just like Jannes and Jambres. Look at verse 10, but thou, I love this verse. If you're a parent, don't you understand underline this upcoming couple verses? 10 through 12 are amazing for parents. Because once again, what does Paul call Timothy? His what? His son in the faith. And I read these verses, and I kept thinking about the message on the Word of God. I kept thinking about my children. When they leave my home, I want they to know these things that Timothy knew about his father in the faith. Look at this, verse 10. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, my purpose, faith, my long-suffering, my charity, patience. Verse 11, persecutions and affliction, let them good and the bad. At a certain age they can handle it. Which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, and at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. You know what my mom did? She told me the gritty and the rough stuff. Her past. Going about, son, I made some mistakes in my life. I married a man I should never have married. But God blessed me with 2 months of boys. Don't go make the same mistake. She's so gracious about it. She never went after my dad, by the way, but she told me the good and the bad. She told me about how God led her, blessed her life. When my mom passed away, I knew her doctrine. I knew her manner of life. I knew her purpose. I knew her faith. knew her long suffering. I knew she endured some things for charity, for patience, all the persecution and afflictions. But I like what she always said, the Lord delivered me. Yea, verse 12, look at Timothy. Yea, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. I love the grace. I thought if we add Jesus to our life, it's going to be a bed of roses. Is that true, church? Sure isn't. I want our teenagers to know that. And sometimes I've been at a conference for teenagers, and they tell them, if you add Jesus to your life, teenagers, you're going to have a blessed life. And I know what they're trying to say, but sometimes they leave out the persecutions that come with following Christ. They leave out the fact that it may not be popular, and I don't want to put the doom and gloom, but it seems to me that a person who holds to the faith and what this book teaches is becoming less and less popular in our modern-day culture and the media. If you hold to what this book teaches, following Christ, by the way, you don't add Christ to your life. He is your life. Following Christ means you pick up your cross and you carry it. The purpose of the Word of God is revealed here in these remaining verses. Look at verse 13 with me. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. Deceiving, now like what God also says about them, and they're being deceived themselves. Remember, we don't fight against flesh and blood, right? The people who are deceived, they're deceived themselves. That's why you pray for your enemies. Because there's a power at work going on. But evil men, they're evil. They've been seduced themselves. They've been deceived themselves. That should give us a heart of compassion for our enemies. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. God is reminding us through the Apostle Paul, from the time of Christ until his return, things in this world are going to wax worse and worse. I'm not trying to discourage you. That's just the reality of it. The Bible says that we return to the days of Noah. The days of Noah. When the thoughts and imaginations of man were evil, the Bible says continually. You don't have to turn there for sake of time. Matthew 24, Jesus says this, but as the days of Noah were, so also shall the coming of the Son of Man be. For as the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying, given in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Like in Noah's day, our world is moving forward. It's business as usual. The stock market opens. There's weddings. There's parties. There's events. There's the Super Bowl. There's things going on, totally oblivious to the moral evil of the day. Verse 14 continues. I love this verse. He's encouraging his son in the faith. But continue thou in the things that you, teenagers, you listen up right here. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. What a great youth verse. What a great church verse. Hey, Timothy, it's going to get tough. You might get persecuted. You might get laughed at. It's not going to be easy building a church in Ephesus where you're going to go. But I want to remind you, Timothy, it's worth it to follow God. I want you to look at where I'm at and the blessing of my life and the joy that I have. I want you to be assured of who you learned it from. In verse 15, I love this. And that from a child, thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, the holy, which are able to make thee wise unto what? What's the purpose of the Bible? Is for societal ills, Timothy? But also lay out the plan of salvation. That's why God gave us the Word of God. Through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. That's why this morning we have Catch Club going on next door. That's why we have Amy Club for the little ones. That's why we have youth groups that happen tonight. That's why we have growth groups at our church. We want the young ones and the adults as well to get in God's Word. And that from a child, thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. Here's the purpose. I want to read it a lot here. Verse 16. Are you there? Say amen. Let's read it all together. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God It is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Verse 17, read with me. That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Why did God reveal his word to us? The purpose of the word, not only is to tell us and help us through the societal ills that we face, to teach us salvation, you can know the truth. These things that are written unto you, little children, that you may know that you have eternal life, 1 John tells us. But why do we need the Bible, one, to bring us to an understanding of salvation? Are you saved this morning? Able to make you wise unto salvation. But secondly, I like what it says here. For it is profitable for what? Doctrine. What is doctrine? Teaching what is right. Got notes there? Teaching what is right. The truth. It's profitable for doctrine. Why should you get up and spend time in God's word? Or before you go to bed, spend time to crack open the word of God. I want to know what's right. It's doctrine. Secondly, or thirdly here, for reproof. What is reproof? If you're taking notes, what is wrong? God says the word of God is like a mirror. It's not a magnifying glass that helps you look at other people's eyes. I read the word of God all day. Oh, man, yeah. Yeah, oh, I need this. But it's a mirror reflecting me. Shows me what is wrong. May I ask you, when was the last time you were and often my spirit can be corrected. I thought about that. Those who are being deceived, that corrected my spirit wasn't me. But I read that about evil men. They even deceived themselves. That helped me. Sometimes they get mad. Reproof, what is wrong? Correction, says next. How to get it right? That's what it means, correction. So it's proper doctrine for reproof. For correction. How to get it right. David says, show me, and then tell me how to perform it. And then, instruction in righteousness. What is that? How to keep it right. How to stay right. So God's word, what's the purpose this morning, and we're done here? Teaching what is right. That's doctrine. Reproof, what is wrong. For correction, how to get it right. Instruction in righteousness, how to stay right. Why should we make the Bible a big part of our lives? The simplest way for doctrine, reproof, correction, and instruction in righteousness. Theodore Roosevelt, he said this, a thorough knowledge of the Bible is worth more than a college of education. I'm all for college education. Tell your young people, I hope you get a good education, but more than that, I want you to have a thorough knowledge of the Bible. A thorough knowledge of the Bible, Theodore Roosevelt, is worth more than a college education. I love that quote about from Bobby Zacharias. He says, education is not the key to a successful life. He's well educated. He says, you take a kid who steals nails from the railroad track, and you give them an education, look at that, and look on the way to Bobby's over. Take everything. All right? So you educate them even harder. And that's what they talk about in Hawaii. They don't like sending their prisoners off to the mainland because they learn new techniques. And then they come back to Hawaii. They implement those techniques. Education disperses what's already in the heart. We need to help the heart first. Out of the heart issues of life, God says. When we look at the news and trends, and we look at the pool of the world, the flesh, and the devil, we better be in this book. So he's telling Timothy here, for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Paul says the only way you're going to make it through the society is by taking hold of the word of God. Proverbs 4:13 says, take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. Take fast hold of instruction. For me, I grew up in a very poor home. Like I said, a single parent home. Statistically, I should have spent some time in jail. That's what the statistics tell me. Statistics tell me I should have experimented with alcohol. Statistically, I should never have graduated from college. Statistically, I shouldn't have married my wife as a virgin. Statistically, I should have never become the pastor. not saying this to promote myself, but to promote the power of God. God is a separate message for another day. It's a charm. It's a lot more. Charm to me. So we can read that in a second. I'll read it to you now. Piercing even to the dividing of sunder, soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the bonds and intents of the heart. It's a great thing. It's a power. I remember I got my Bible as a 13-year-old. I just determined, I don't know what it was. We had N64, a whole lot of other things. I just determined every night, God, I'm going to spend some time with you. As a 13-year-old boy that year, I read the whole Bible. God began to really work in my life. I don't know what happened. I just remember His word being active in my mind. I look forward to my time with my Bible. I will be buying a picture. I still have to this day. So the first Bible I ever received, my sister gave it to me. I need a reminder this morning. That's why I preach this message. I don't want to be complacent in my walk. I can look at the past and say, wow, all right, I've done good. All right, cool. Hang it up now. I know enough. We can get there in our Christian life, can't we? We've been to church long enough. We've heard the same messages long enough. And we've heard the same topics. We can get complacent in our Christian life. I want to get complacent. And by the way, I like some self-help books that make me good, motivational stuff. But you got to be careful with your best year yet, your best life now. And some of these books, if you're looking for that to alter and determine to change you as a person, I'm going to say you might be mistaken here. The Word of God is. You can add some of those nuggets. I'm not getting some. I've learned some good stuff from some encouraging material out there. I was listening to a guy talk about finances, and he said something whack about money and tithing and giving. And I said, you know what? I got to spit that out because that's contrary to the Word of God. When you read stuff, you better have that filter because you know God's Word, and you're filtering out the garbage out there, and it hits you all over the world. I mean, you watch them. You got to have that filter constantly on. The Word of God has to be in you. 1 Thessalonians 2:13 says this, and we'll close off. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing. Paul's talking to the Thessalonians here. Because when ye received the Word of God, when ye heard of us, ye received it not as the Word of men, but as it is in truth, the Word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. The Word is powerful. 2019 is upon us. And I hope that you would set maybe not numeric goals for your Bible reading. I tell our teenagers, what you ought to do is set a time goal. Tell God, I'm going to commit this time in your Word. I'm going to commit this much time to Bible memorization. And I want you to give that to you, God. I don't care if it's 5 minutes, it's something. And it's amazing to me. That's why some self-help books are kind of helpful. Action is the key. If you go out here today, you don't do anything what I said, then the Bible says you deceive yourself. Hearing the Word is not enough. Action. Acting on what you hear. And sometimes putting in, I'll give you an example here to close off. I read this financial book in school. It said, you know, even if you can't invest, set up a wire transfer from your checking account to your investment account for $5 a day. So can you do $5? That's kind of good advice. So people say, well, I've got to make $1 million before I can start investing. Then why don't you just put $5 in? It's amazing. It's just that little habit of you got it going already. And I'm determined. Why do you say, God, I'm going to determine to give you? Well, I'm just so busy, I can't really fit anything in my schedule. All right, God, I'm just going to give you 5 minutes. God, it's not much, I know. I have with you, God. You're going to smack your head and say, that's all you can give me? I'll use that. And then something will start burning in your heart. And you'll grow in your mouth with God. And you may turn to 10, 20, 30, 40, or multiple times, and you'll look forward to establish something. If you tell me next week, Pastor Omar, I'm so thankful. I just did 5 minutes every day this week. That's awesome. Because guess what? You heard the statistic. We're talking about 2/3 of all pastors in America don't do that. So you already have a pack. So may I encourage you this week, tomorrow, today, take time for God's word. preaches and just shares your word here, but also privately, Lord. Help me to be a man of God who opens your word. He gets into my closet, away from the public eye, away from the congregation, and help me to walk with you my private walk. Lord, I ask that you would help our congregation here to not just revere, have a respect intellectually about your word, but Lord, may they develop that relationship with you through a steady time in your word every day. God, may you speak to them. Lord, I think about my own walk with you, Lord. I don't remember everything that I've read. Yeah, I remember some highlights when you spoke to me. I'm glad I had a time with you, especially on those difficult days when you really spoke to me, God. It's just like eating, but I don't remember every meal. I remember some highlights, some anniversaries, some different things that I thought, man, that was an amazing meal. But Lord, I'm nourished. I'm here today because I've eaten every day. Man shall live by bread alone, every word that I receive from the mouth of God. So Father, help us to feast on your word every day. Lord, just like those children of Israel gathered that man for their survival, Lord, help us to come before you in our prayer walk and as well as our highlight time. Feast. You may not remember everything, Lord, but I know we'll realize down the road, man, we've grown. We've increased in our spiritual life because we've taken this time. So, Father, may you truly bless our congregation. May you truly bless these visitors. May they get a hunger and desire for the world like never before in 2019. And never too late to add this to your life. So, Father, pray you bless the invitation time as our pastor comes. Lord, and I pray, Lord, that you also allow me to give the gospel as well and share that as well this morning. Anyone not saved, Lord, would you bring them to your cross, Lord? Would you bring them to the understanding of this need to ask me? Father, if anyone is not saved, Lord, would you just call them and direct them? If they don't understand what salvation is, may they not leave this auditorium today without knowing. Father, I pray you bless the invitation time.
From heaven.